Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 328, Live Like Jesus, Part 1, A Humble Heart. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, July 30th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, Sister Ellie dropped a hint there what we're going to be talking about today. So when she said humility, did you all buckle your seatbelts? Praise the Lord. But before we jump into the word, I wanted to give the opportunity to welcome special guest surprise visitors today, Michael and Linda Livengood, and have you say a word, just greet the people, if you would. I know I'm putting you on the spot. So glad you're here with us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Let me be really, really brief because I want you to have time to preach. Thank you for your prayers for us. 4 months ago, I had a heart attack, not necessarily something I would encourage people to have, but I did tell somebody that did at least prove I had a heart for those who were suspicious of that. But God has been good to us. I'm probably about somewhere between 95 and 100%, pretty much back to doing the things we need to be doing. But I was especially touched as I was viewing the clip of you praying for me. So thank you for your prayers. The cardiologist at one point said to me, "You're doing extremely good. I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing." And I said, "Well, I said conservatively, I know that I've had hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people that have contacted me to indicate that they are praying." And he said, "Well, tell them, keep doing it. It's working."
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a testimony to tell you prayer works. Praise the Lord. So glad to have you with us in the house today. Praise God. Okay, let me start my timer here so I don't preach just through lunchtime. All right. You might. I don't know. Is everyone else on board with her? All right. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. God is good. All right. Yeah, I love how the Lord just weaves a ribbon of his message through a service. We don't generally talk today. I know we didn't. Sometimes we might share what we're sharing about or preaching about or the transition message, but we didn't, and it's just really awesome to see how the Holy Spirit is the ultimate weaver to get his heart and his truth and his word out to each of you. He feeds his people. Amen. He finds a way to do that. So Father God, use my voice, use my life today, and get your message to your people. And I thank you for that, and I give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Sister Ellie talked about being stretched, right? And some of us, maybe hopefully all of us, raised our hands. If you want to be stretched, you want to go higher. So this is a message that will provoke that, promote that, give you an opportunity for you to go higher when we talk about the humility of Jesus. But first, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that it's possible to live like Jesus lived on this earth? I heard some yeses. Yes. It is. It is. We're going to jump right into our key scripture. It's in Philippians 2, and this scripture will answer that question for us. Philippians 2, 6 through 11. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. It says, "He," talking about Jesus, "he existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names, The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone one day will submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory to God and honor to God his Father. Amen. That, my friends, is the word of the Lord. So, did that answer the question for you? Is it possible for us to live like Jesus did on the earth? Because some people think that it's unattainable to live like Jesus did because, well, I could never live like I could never be like Jesus. He was Jesus. He was God. He was, you know, divinity incarnated into flesh, but he was God, right? And so, you know, they say, well, he had divine powers that I don't have. He had an advantage, so to speak, over us. But it's a mistake. It's a mistake for us to think that Jesus Christ was able to work wonders, to do miracles on the earth, to live above sin because he was God and supernatural. Therefore, people that have this belief, then they wouldn't aspire to live like Jesus lived, right? They're just going to, well, I'm just a lowly human and he's up there and he's God and I'm not. And it's true, he's God and I'm not. But we read verse 6 and 7 again. It says, he existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. In other words, he's not going to pull the God card and say, well, I'm God, so I'm going to have all these supernatural powers. No, he gave that up. He let that go, right? It says, verse 7, instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human, right? So when Jesus came to the earth, he voluntarily gave up his divinity, gave up the fact that he was part of God, right? The living Trinity. And he agreed to the plan of the Father to live his life here on earth, not as God, but as a man. He had no innate supernatural powers, no ability to perform miracles until after he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, as we read in Luke 3:22, when he was baptized and the dove, this Holy Spirit, rested on him. Right? Remember that? So that's when he was anointed to do miracles. But he worked wonders not by his own power, but by the power of the Father. Amen. Right? It was all through the power of Father God through him. He was a man. Right? He had to walk closely. He had to obey the voice of his Father. Just like we have to obey the voice of our Father and walk closely in intimacy with him. It says in John 14, verse 22, this is Jesus talking. He says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. So basically he was saying, my Father is God. He's the divine one. He's the supernatural one. I'm a man. I came to this earth because Jesus submitted to the will of the Father, God's will and plan to be our Savior and our Redeemer, right? But he's saying, I respond to God's voice. I do what he says for me to do, right? When Jesus prayed, he prayed not as a divine one who had authority as God, but as a man who walked obediently with God. Wow, that can influence our prayer life, can it? Right? Hebrews 5:7-8, it says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Verse 8 says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Wow. So this is Jesus. He was stripped voluntarily. He He submitted his will of the Father, and he voluntarily was stripped of his divinity. So when he came here on earth, when he prayed to the Father, he prayed, it says, and pleadings with a loud cry and tears. I mean, Jesus didn't have, like, he wasn't have it all figured out all the time, right? He went up to the mountain early and he was pleading and crying. And several times in scriptures it said he pulled away. And, you know, wouldn't it be great for us to hear what his prayers exactly? We have some glimpse, and we're, you know, there's some words in scriptures that share about what exactly were his words to the Father. But it says he cried out with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. Wow. And then it said God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. His deep reverence. So we can have the confidence in our prayers that God is hearing when we have a deep reverence for God, right? That it's not that just Jesus, you know, had his prayers answered because he was God, because he was Jesus. No, he when he came to earth, he was stripped of all that. But because of his deep reverence for God, Father God answered his prayers, right? Because he obeyed, Jesus obeyed the voice of his Father, we see the miracles, the signs, and the wonders here in the Word, right? So that is really good news for us. Praise the Lord. Do you know what that really means? That means that you and I, filled with the same Holy Spirit that Jesus was, we have the opportunity to live as he lived on the earth. Hallelujah, somebody, right? We have that power, that ability. We can have a deep reverence for God. We can walk not having all the answers because we're not divinity, but he does. And when we cry out to him, sometimes with loud cries and a loud shout, knowing that he's the one that can, only one that can rescue us from death, that scripture said. Like, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe, that Pastor Israel referred to in the video, that he will answer us, that he will work miracles and signs and wonders through us because we're simply submitted to him, because we have a deep reverence for God, because we're taking off anything about ourselves and saying, God, just use me. I'm up here, I'm a vessel. Just use me. Speak through me. When I go to the gas station, speak through me. When I go to Cedar Point and I'm sitting on the bench next to it, speak through me. You know, use my mouth. Use what I have. Use my boat. Use my house. Use my field. You know, whatever you have, right? He can work through us. We can have a supernatural life when we submit ourselves to him. Praise the Lord. So that is my heart for these two messages this week and next week. So the title of these messages is Live Like Jesus. And today we're going to focus on a certain aspect, which is humility of Jesus, that we can, it is possible to live humble lives. Amen. 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 Help us, Lord Jesus. It's a hard one, but it's an area that we need to talk about. It's something we need to talk about because pride, it's ugly. Pride is ugly. And it's all through scripture how ugly it is. It's an abomination to God, right? It's pride is the sin of that caused Lucifer to fall out of heaven, right? Because he was puffed up and wanted to be exalt himself higher than God. So we need help in this area. We need to run to the Father. We need to run to the supernatural one in this area and say, help us. Because I want to be living a life of reverence to God. I want to be submitted so that he, not me, so that he can work through me, work signs and wonders and miracles and have his way through me, a humble vessel. Praise the Lord. So through the new birth, he's enabled you, he's enabled me. If you're born again in Jesus Christ, he's enabled us to exchange our sinful nature, the sinful nature of Adam, right, for a sinless nature of God. That is possible. He's enabled us to live above sin. It's possible through Jesus, right? We won't do it perfect, and when we mess up, we repent. We turn 180 degrees? Yeah, this. 180 degrees, and we go in the other direction. That's repenting, right? So it's possible. He enabled us to live in fellowship with the Father, and Jesus modeled that for us. He enabled us to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Use my mouth, use my tongue, use my words, Lord. He enabled us to heal the sick. Amen. Amen. He enabled us to raise the dead. Now, maybe we're not practicing this yet. Maybe we're not stepping out in this. But why not? Let's start. Let's start believing for it. Let's start pressing into the Word of God. And part of the key of that is humility, and we'll talk about that. And he's enabled us to cast out demons. Praise the Lord. To take authority over demonic powers like Pastor Israel and his wife did, that they shared from that testimony. He's enabled us to make disciples. Praise the Lord. We can do it through his help and through his power. We can do it. But guess what? It's going to require our humility. It's not me. It's not me, myself, and I. It's not gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy. Praise the Lord. We're going to focus on this humility of Jesus today. He's enabled us to walk in humility, and he shows us how to do that. He shows us how to do that. So let's look again at, let's focus on Philippians 2, verse 8. It says, he humbled himself in the Passion Translation. It says, he humbled himself and became vulnerable. In NLT, it says, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Wow. If that's not the ultimate show of humility, I don't know what is. He had the opportunity to just, I don't know, stay in heaven and be God, right? But he didn't. He stripped himself. He let go of that deity, that divinity, that supernatural part being God. To die a criminal's death on a cross. If you're wondering, what is humility? That's humility. That is humility to the 100th degree, right? He's the model. Humility is shown when we have a healthy understanding of who I am and who God is. And who God is and who I'm not. Right? That he is the creator of the universe, that he is Lord, he is the great I am, and I am not. That doesn't mean I'm a lowly worm and I have no, you know, anything that I should just be trampled on. No, the word says I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The word says I am the head and not the tail. The word says I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The word says you are blessed and highly favored. So we are loved and we know that, but we are not above God. And we are not above anyone else. Nobody else is better than anybody else. Right? We are all loved. We are all blessed and highly favored. So we need to have a in right, aligned view of who we are. And where are we going to get that? In the Word of God. Who we are and who I'm not and who God is. That'll put us in our place. Right? Proverbs 22, verse 4, NLT says, true humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. If you needed some motivation, why should I be humble? Why should I walk like Jesus? Well, guess what? Here's some motivation for you. It's going to lead to riches. It's going to lead to honor. It's going to lead to long life. Now, our motivation should be just, I want to be like Jesus. Our motivation should be, I love him, and I want to have him transform my life, and I want to be a vessel for him. But God loves a humble heart. God will bless the humble heart. He will bless the one who is willing to be stripped of themselves, be stripped of pride. And he will bless us. He will honor us. He will give us a long life. That's what it says, right? In my Bible. Does your Bible say that? Do we have our Bibles? Are we are we awake? Okay. Praise the Lord. It's not just my Bible. So this humility is also, it's connected to the fear of the Lord. It's the reverence of who he is. And this verse tells us that God blesses humility. The root in Latin word for humus, which comes from humility, means of the earth. Like literally face down in the dirt kind of earth. Right? So if we're talking about humility, we're talking about talk about our position, face down in the dirt, submitting to the authority of another without personal pride. And like I said before, it's not that we are nothing and we should just be doormats and that, you know, we don't understand that we're loved and I think that, you know, I'm just rejected all the time. No, we are loved, like we said, we're blessed and highly favored, but in front of God, face down in the dirt. Like, I'm your servant. I'm a humble vessel, right? We're not greater than he is, and we're not greater than anybody else. We're not him. Praise the Lord. In interactions with others, if we're walking in humility, we're not considering ourselves first. We're not putting ourselves and our needs all the time, me, myself, and I. Gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy. Sorry. I'll share a joke. Sorry, not sorry. Right. Humility doesn't consider oneself, right? Like the needs before another one's needs. Somebody who's walking in humility understands, I'm here to be a vessel. I'm here to serve. I'm here to be a channel for God's love and blessing to someone else. So the focus is on God for another person's sake, right? To allow his grace, his mercy, his everything, his love to flow through me to somebody else. And that involves humility because it's real easy to get puffed up when you see that God uses you and think, wow, that was awesome. I gave a word in tongues, you know, whatever. Or, you know, I was used in worship. Or guess what? Without his grace, without his power, without his Holy Spirit, we are nothing. So our attitude, whether we're up in front with a mic or we're serving in the back, should be, God, I'm face down in the dirt in front of you. You tell me what to do. You allow me to be a blessing for you and to out to other people. Amen. Jesus was rejected. He was insulted. He was stripped of dignity. A part of the Holy Trinity, divine Trinity, Jesus allowed himself when he became man. He submitted to God's plan and his will and his purpose. And he was rejected, insulted, stripped of dignity, persecuted, ridiculed, tortured, crucified. He didn't use that, well, I'm the Son of God card to get out of this, right? Oh, I'm so thankful for Jesus. What he did for us and that he is a model for us how to walk every day. He modeled that ultimate humility for us. He loved the people anyway, those that persecuted him, those that crucified him. He didn't fight against God's plan. He didn't try to take vengeance when he was on the cross. He submitted to it. Submission is a part of humility. He didn't try to save his reputation. Help us, Jesus. When you're given the opportunity, when you're rejected, when you're mistreated, how do you respond? Do you try to save face? Do you try to puff yourself up, fight back, get vengeance? It's just a question that we can all ask ourselves, right? We can press into Jesus. If you find that self in your place, that place, or when you find yourself being persecuted, rejected, offended, because the Bible says it will happen. Sorry that that's bad news, but guess what? We have Jesus as our model. We can press into him. There was a time when I felt some of those things. And, you know, when people hurt your heart, it hurts because you have nothing but good intentions and you want to show love. And that's what you were trying to do. And you were misunderstood, rejected, insulted, any of it. And, you know, in that position, I cried out to Jesus. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly how you feel. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. So we can press into him in those moments and say, make me humble like you are humble. Help me to love people beyond myself. And it's going to feel like a stretch. We talked about stretching. It's going to feel like a stretch. I can't do it. I just want to. Yes, you can do it. Get into his word. Read about Jesus being humble. And that's where I camped out. And that's where this message was birthed from Philippians 2. Just me just sitting there with Philippians 2 going, Jesus, you are so loving, so amazing that you were so rejected, beaten, persecuted, all the things. And yet you loved on the cross saying, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So if he did it, we can follow in his footsteps. He can give us, he will give us, when you press in, he will give us the strength to walk like him, to walk in that humility. So let's go to the first part, because we jumped to the second part when we started with verse 6 of Philippians 2. We did the second part first. We're going to do the first part now. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. And this is in the Passion Translation. It says, look at how much encouragement you've found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with his comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt his tender affection and mercy. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Wow. When we walk in unity, in one passion, united in love, in humility, in love together with our brothers and sisters, we fill his heart with unbounded joy. What an opportunity that is for us. What an opportunity that is for us. Okay, let's carry on. I didn't realize I didn't read all of it. I started to preach. Okay, back to verse 3. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm. For they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Help us, Jesus. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. I love the way the Passion Translation says that. Wow, wow, wow. There's so much in that. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts. It hides, guys. There's so many times that we don't see it. We don't see the pride. We don't see it. Or it disguises itself in like self-help kind of things. Well, I have to just take care of myself all the time. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, James 4, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. That sounds like a command to me. Humble yourselves. There's a lot of things that God does and that he helps us with, but this sounds like, to me, he's saying, you do it. You humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. That's our part. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. And I tell you what, it's better if we recognize Help us, Holy Spirit, to recognize, and we humble ourselves, than God to knock us off our high horse. It's a lot less painful that way, right? And so, you know, the Bible says, judge yourself, lest you be judged. So, humble yourself. Holy Spirit, show me when I'm getting this selfish, prideful, exalting myself above others kind of attitude. We have a choice. We have a choice when we're treated as Jesus was, when we're rejected, when we're ridiculed, when we're slandered. We can harbor resentment. We can take offense. We can let it make us become bitter. We can leave church and hop to another one. Sorry, I'm meddling today. I know. Ouch! Right? Or we can do what the Bible says, Proverbs 4. Have you heard this one? Guard your heart above all else, for everything you do flows from it. We have to guard our hearts against offense. It will destroy us, my friends. It will destroy us. Don't let an offense make you become bitter, thinking that the other person is going to die, and it's like drinking poison. We're dying inside if we allow that bitter root to take hold, to take root. Guard your heart. Look, cling to the example of Jesus to forgive people, to walk in his grace, to walk in his love, in his humility. Reflect the love of Jesus even when you're treated poorly, even when you're misunderstood, even when you're insulted. It's going to stretch us. It's going to stretch us. But it's going to make us look more like Jesus. And he's in us to help us do it. Praise the Lord. What would the church look like? What would your family look like if when we have an opportunity to be hurt by another's words or actions, we took that emotion, we took it to the feet of Jesus, laid it down, and just gave him our pain and gave him our, I'm confused, why they're treating me like this, and allow him to wash it away? How would your household look different? How would your neighborhood look different? How would our church look different when we learn to really walk in that humility and to allow ourselves to be a channel of blessing for his amazing love extended and forgiveness extended to that person when you're insulted and mistreated? Praise the Lord. And I'm not talking about being a doormat, right, for another's poor behavior. And I'm not saying that anyone should submit to abusive behavior. There's a place for putting boundaries. But there's also a place for extending forgiveness. It's about the state of your heart. It doesn't mean you have to, if somebody's abused you and hurt you, you can extend forgiveness and grace in your heart and allow that to not make you bitter, but you don't have to jump right back into being their best friend again. You know what I mean? You understand the difference? So I'm not saying just be humble and be a doormat and let people trample all over you and abuse you. No. Okay? Do you understand the difference? Is that clear? And Jesus, wow, Jesus modeled that for us, didn't he? He modeled that when he talks about turning the other cheek. Pastor Santos and I were studying about turn the other cheek, and what we found was that in the culture of Jesus' day, when the Israelites were under Roman oppression, Roman rule, when somebody would slap somebody on the face, hopefully I don't get this wrong. Pastor Santos, I might need to give you the mic and help me. it was seen as, with the hand that they used to slap was considered, like if they were slapping a appear, it would be with the front side of their hand. And if they were coming against or exercising power over the lesser, the Hebrew people in this case, who were seen as like slaves, right? They were oppressed. They would slap with the back part of their hand. So their right hand, the back part of their right hand would hit their left cheek. And that was like the ultimate insult. That was like, you are lower than low, you are slave status, right? Because the rankings, the like caste system, if you will, was important in those days, was of significance in the culture. So what Jesus was saying when he said, when you're slapped on one cheek, turn the other cheek, was to say, you know, submit, to not take vengeance, to not retaliate, to just in the most humble display, to turn and give your other cheek. It was so that the power of God's love, when somebody did that, would sort of arrest the other person. And when they would realize, oh my gosh, like I'm wrong. And you know, have you ever experienced this, that when you do walk in humility, when you do walk in love, if you allow that to rest on another person, it's much better than if you retaliate. It's much better than if you raise your voice and have the last word. And I have found with people, it allows them to, I mean, it allow a kind word, right? Like it says in Proverbs, turns away wrath. It allows them to de-escalate. And then it allows, and this has to do with the brain chemistry, I believe, it allows them to reflect on themselves. And conviction comes. They treated me with love. And they realize, I did not deserve that. That was not, you know, and they take responsibility for their own actions. Has anyone seen the movie War Room? I highly recommend this movie. And it's not just one scene, I think a few scenes in this movie when, you know, this woman's marriage is falling apart and she learns the power of love in respecting and honoring her husband. And so she begins to understand the word of God. She begins to take authority in her household and she begins to show love and humility and honor to her husband, even though he's not treating her the best. And there's a scene where he just kind of breaks down, like week after week. She has changed her behavior. She has stopped fighting and yelling back at him. She stopped, you know, getting revenge and having to have the last word. And she just is quiet. She loves on him. She's serving him. And he's like, what is going on? Like, who is this woman? Until you see the scene where he breaks and he falls to his knees and he's just like, I don't deserve this. And he repents and he gives his heart back to the Lord and he goes and asks forgiveness. But it was all because she aligned with this in walking in love and humility. It's so powerful. It's turning the other cheek, and that powerful love that we're able to walk in only by his grace and his power and his mercy, that's going to touch somebody else's heart. They're going to realize, oh my gosh, they're just loving me and I am being a jerk. I am being not nice. And conviction from the Holy Spirit comes. But we've got a partner. Our job is to just partner with him in love, in humility. Amen. Woo, I feel the fire. Can we do this, church?
Yes.
We can do it. Amen. Amen. We can do it. We can do it. It's not going to be fun. I hate to tell you that. It's not fun. It doesn't feel nice. Our flesh is going to scream a bit. But our flesh doesn't lead us. The Holy Spirit of God leads us. And through his power, we can do it. We can do this. All right, where am I? Praise the Lord. tell you a testimony, and I know I've shared this story maybe in years past. I was a full-time missionary and lived in Argentina in a community house, and I could tell you a lot of stories about extending love and grace when you live in a house with 20-plus people of different cultures and different personalities and different languages and all the things. And one day, a group of us were in the kitchen, and we were, I don't know, serving or making a meal or something, and there was a conversation going on about doing missions and traveling for Jesus to other countries. And I said something about the United States, about how my country, the United States, needs missionaries. We need the gospel all over again. This was maybe some 12 years ago or something. But we need the gospel. We need missionaries on fire for Jesus to come and evangelize our nation once again. And a lady, I think without really thinking, one of my fellow missionaries, God bless her, she just kind of blurted out, "I would never want to go to your country." Oh my goodness. It was like a knife to my heart, because I'd given up everything and I'm in her nation. I'm serving there, and her people, I mean, I'm serving God, right? But I'm there, I gave it all up. And I was there, I stayed there for 7 years. And so when she said that to me, it was just like a knife through my heart. Like, here I am, I laid it all down, and I'm serving in your nation, but you wouldn't go to mine? Like, if that's where God says, like, you wouldn't go to mine? And it hurt me. But praise the Lord, I must have submitted myself to the Holy Spirit that day, because what came out of my mouth was not me, and it was not what my flesh would have answered her. So what, it just can't punch her, no. I think I felt like that, but what came out of my mouth, well, first I was shocked, and the tears welled up in my eyes, and she saw that, and I paused. And then here comes the Holy Spirit, and he said, "That is too bad." I said, "That is really a shame, because my nation needs people like you who love Jesus, who have the Holy Spirit, who are on fire and can preach the gospel in power." And I was like practically crying as I said it, and I just walked away. She came to me later. She knew that she had, you know, overstepped. She blurted out something without having a filter and without holding it back. But if I had like yelled back at her or said, "Your nation, you know, your nation isn't a piece of cake either," you know, whatever, then probably like the whole thing wouldn't have, it would have ended differently, right? And so praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit just taking over sometimes. But that was a humble answer. That was the humility of Jesus coming out of me, extending grace to her. And I mean, complimenting her, saying, "It is, it's a shame, because we need people like you to win souls in the United States again." And so that's just an example that I share with you, that of walking in the humility and grace of Jesus. So moral of that story is just submit yourself to the Holy Spirit every day and ask him to put a watch on your mouth and to help you to walk in that love, even if you're in your mind thinking of your fleshly response or your punch or whatever, that Holy Spirit, you better just take control of me and my mouth. Otherwise, we're going to get in trouble here. And then we're not partnering with him. And we're not representing the kingdom in that moment. And we all mess up, and you ask forgiveness, you repent, and you get back on when you do. But pride is an ugly thing. It takes lots of forms, and I didn't type all of these up, but I went back to my notebook from 2006, 2007, from the days that I was doing classes, discipleship training school in YWAM. There's a class on pride. Oh my gosh. This class on pride, they'd give you 50 points of pride and the manifestations of pride and what that looks like. And then I was not only in that class one time, two times, but then, you know, "Hey, Sarah, can you translate for this class?" "Sure. What are you preaching on?" "Pride." "Hey, Sarah, month later, we need a translator. Can you preach? Get up there. We're talking about pride today, the 50 points of pride. So I've heard this class a lot. I think there's probably a reason that I've heard this class a lot. Praise the Lord. But, you know, just to name a few, self-sufficiency. Like, I got this. I don't need anybody. Independence is closely related to that. Exaggeration. When you make, like, a gross exaggeration, that comes from pride. Interrupting people. Ooh, the Holy Spirit is working on me with this one. When you interrupt somebody, you're not open to really listen to what they're saying. You're just thinking about your thing, and then you cut them off because what I have to say is more important. So if anyone wants that list of 50 points, I will gladly share it with you. Get ready for a cachetazo, we say in Spanish. Like, oh, you're going to be repenting, as we all should. But also pride comes in the form of, like, those examples are one type of pride, which is superiority, like puffing itself up. Like, look at me. Look how God used me. Wow, I'm the best preacher, you know, all this stuff. Or pride can also disguise itself in inferiority. Like, oh, I'm so lowly. Oh, I can't. No, it's false humility. That is also pride. So don't think you're off the hook if you struggle more with rejection and you're like, oh, well, that is pride. If you are not basing your identity on who God says you are, who God says you are, the word of God, you are loved. You're a loved child of him. So you're not this lowly thing that, oh, that's pride just as well. So you're not off the hook. Either kind. We should be on our knees and repenting when he shows you. And we can do it. Amen. All right. In conclusion, are you guys doing okay? Nobody's bleeding? We're good? Praise the Lord. Help us, Jesus. 1 John 2. 1 John 2:5-6. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Wow. That's a tall order. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Are we going to do it perfectly? No. But we have his grace and we have his power to do it to the best of, not even our ability, the best of the Holy Spirit in us's ability. And when we mess up, we repent and we get back on. But that's fruit. It says, this is how we know we are in him. When you are walking the walk, and when you mess up, you repent and you get back on the walk, right? And so we can do this. He's going to empower us to live a humble life, to be used in powerful ways. When you see somebody get healed because you lay hands on them, wow, God, keep that wow factor. like Michael Ivingood's book, the wow factor, that he did it. He used me, just this humble vessel. I'm humbled. God, I'm humbled that you would use me to bring healing to somebody else or bring a powerful word or bring, you know, a prophetic word, whatever it is, to encourage somebody else. I'm humbled, but it's you. I'm watching you work, and I'm just ready to get out of the way so that he can do his thing, so that he can flow how he wants to flow, so his kingdom can be glorified. It can be expanded at the gas station, at the grocery store, wherever we go, not just in here, right? And so it's not about us. We shouldn't take the glory. We shouldn't take the fame and the honor. Oh, no, no. When people give that to you, oh, it's you. Wow, you healed me. No, no, no. Let's get this right. Jesus healed you. And you teach people to not adore you. You teach people not to magnify and exalt you. You teach them to look at him, to keep their eyes on him and recognize that everything we do and everything we have comes from him. We are vessels, yes, and people will imitate you as you imitate Jesus, that's what making disciples is. People are going to be following you, and that's okay. But you point them to Jesus. Don't let them worship you. Don't let them adore you. You say, oh, no, no, it's not me. This is Jesus. I'm teaching you to follow, yes, to follow me, but I'm teaching you to follow him. Follow me as I teach you to follow him. To keep your eyes on him, to keep all together, we're going to worship and exalt him because he is the Lord above all of it. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the one that deserves the glory and the honor and the praise. Final verse, landing the plane. Micah, where'd it go? Micah, where are you? Micah 6. Nope, that's Proverbs. Where'd Micah go? Is he by Zechariah? Malachi. Nope, before that, right? Oh, I wrote it down. That's why I didn't mark it. Here we go. Micah 6, 8. Is it up there too? There it is. That's the NLT. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what pleases him. This is what he requires of us. Do what is right. Love justice, another verse says. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Church, let's model after Jesus. Let's imitate the model, that's better said, imitate the model of Jesus and walk humbly with our God, to do what's right, to love mercy, to walk with him, and others will be attracted to you because of the Jesus in you.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We are so thankful for you, for your ultimate model, Father God, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us, to be insulted, persecuted, crucified, insulted, all of that, to show us what humility looks like. Help us to walk with that fear of the Lord in reverence to you so that we're close to the Father, so that we can walk in obedience, so that we can walk in humility. Help us, Father. Father, we repent of our sin of pride, of thoughts, of actions, of words, of making ourselves puffed up and thinking, oh, what a great job I did. Help us, Jesus. Strip us of that. Show us, Holy Spirit. Give us a nudge when we need to repent of prideful ways, prideful thoughts. And Father, when we have opportunity to take offense, and to harbor resentment, help us to model your humility in extending grace and forgiveness and love in humility to other people. Let the power of your love and your humility working through us change other people's hearts, all for your glory, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you for the work that you're doing in each heart, in each life here. Father, you want to transform us so that we look more like you, and we can walk like you on this earth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our strength and being our guide. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. And I bless you on social media. Father God, I thank you for just your accompaniment. Right away when I said that, I saw like God's hand just taking some of your hands and just saying, come with me. We're going this way this week. He's going to lead and guide and direct you. He is accompanying. His blessings will accompany you. His direction, his voice will accompany you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for accompanying my friends that are on social media and all of us in this room. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us. You never leave our side. Help us to remain in you, to stay close to you, to stay in close fellowship, to pray without ceasing, to be connected to your Holy Spirit, And so thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are our helper. Bless them over the top this week in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.